Once again, it's my privilege and joy to be here to renew my acquaintance with old friends and also to make new friends. All right, so many of you are new. All right, so wonderful to see all of you, the new ones among us. And truly, we are so blessed as we come to the to seminary to equip ourselves for the Lord's ministry. Let me begin by sharing this, and I think we are all aware of this saying, the wise men learn from their mistakes, but wiser men learn from the mistake of others. You know, so you are wise if you learn from your mistake, and but wiser man, you know, wow, this guy, next time I won't make this kind of mistake, all right. So wiser. So hopefully as you listen to lecturers, pastors, speakers to come, just learn from their life experiences. Take the thing that will truly enable you, empower you to serve. And if there's some mistake they made, yeah, learn about that as well, so that you can grow in ministry. Because all of us, today I learn from my mistake. I'll be learning from my mistake. All right, so as we serve the Lord, all of us desire to honor Him. We come here for a purpose, right? Why are you here? You are here because you want to equip yourself to serve the Lord. You are here because you have a passion for the Lord. You are here because you truly want to honor the Lord by being the very best servant that you can be. You know, someone asked this question, they say, well, how do you know? How do you know you're called into ministry? And you come up with these questionnaires, you say, these answers. You know, how do you know you're called to ministry? All right, well, you say you're called because you desire to lead. Because 1 Timothy 3:1 says the saying is the trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. It's a noble task, you know, to be in ministry. And also you're competent to lead. All right. In your church, you'll be leading youth ministry, you'll be leading worship ministry, you're leading whatever ministry, and people can see, yes, you know, Adrian, or yes, John, you are a blessing to the church. Oh, you have been affirmed by the church. You know, the church will say, yes, we want to send you to serve. Or finally, you're compelled to serve. You see the lost, you see the people around you, they need the gospel, and you really desire to serve God. That's why you avail yourself, regardless of consequences, regardless of circumstances, you just want to serve the Lord. So these are some possible reasons. But for me, I just want to add one more, and that is love. Love as motivation for ministry. And this is where we are going to touch on the passage we are reading on. Love. Love for our Lord Jesus Christ. You love Him, and that's why you want to serve Him. That's what we want to do. We love God. That's why we want to serve Him. And so the passage we have read earlier remind us I believe many of us have covered this before, about Peter, his struggles, his denial, you know, and the difficulties that he faces when he recognized that his Lord and Savior was being hanged on the cross, and he just give up in some ways. And as we come to this passage, we'll see very, very significant study, you know, as we read this passage, because this book so-called help us in terms of our Bible study. You know, for example, what's the difference between verse 15, 16, and 17? Can you see what's the difference between 15, 16, and 17? What's the difference? I believe you all can see it. 15, 16, and 17. Of course, you can see the difference, because in 15 it says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? How about verse 16? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Never say more than this. 17 also, do you love me? Also, no more. Do not say more than this. And of course, if you study this passage, you also try to reconcile. Why is it that, you know, Jesus Christ said that Peter is supposed to call Cephas, you know, the rock, but now he called him Simon. Why? And of course, if some of you who are Greek student, you will recognize that the word love, you know, agape, and well, the reply that Simon gave is filio, yes. All right, so you can understand this. And then you can see the difference between feed my lamb, so it's a baby sheep, they call it a lambkin, well, compared to sheep, adult. Well, why are all these differences there? And of course, the three times that Jesus Christ asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And of course, something that's very important, very important for all of us to know and grasp in ministry. My sheep. And there's something very important for us to grasp. It's not your church. All right, it's not your church. It's not my church. It is Jesus' church. It's in Jesus' ministry, because sometimes in ministry, yeah, sometimes we forget. Wow, this is my church, you know. Wow, why can you do this? Why do you do this? Oh, this is my church. No. Feed my sheep. And there's something that we hopefully we learn along the way, that we understand, but more importantly, to see from this passage, the requirement of service. So, of course, many commentators say that this passage is about Jesus reinstated Peter's restorations from failure to fruitfulness, restoration after failure, or a call. This passage is about a call to service. But I see this more of a love as motivation for ministry, because we realize that love was asked three times. And the emphasis of Christ upon this matter of loving him. So it is important to love him before he commissioned us to serve him. Because in the other passage as well, Matthew chapter 10, Jesus also remind all the followers, all the believers, you know, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So in the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ, love is truly something that he desires from all his servants, from all his followers. And we do recognize that this is something we are called to do. But more importantly, as his followers, we have to ask ourselves, is this something that is motivating us to serve? And the second thing that I want you to know is, the Bible says, feed my sheep. And the second thing is, do you love who? Do you love me? Do you love me? And that's something that's very crucial as well. Because when we think about ministry, you know, we enjoy partnering with people around us. You know, let's win the world for Christ. Let's work together. You know, we have great friends. Our wives are friends with our co-worker. Wow, we are so happy. I love you. You love me. Wow, wonderful. But the love for people will change. There will come a time, maybe due to differences, due to struggles, the people will change. Even your church. Your church say, Pastor, I love you. You know, but after 5 years down the road, Pastor, I hate you. If your love is upon your people, no. Jesus Christ says what? Do you love who? Me. And that's what Jesus Christ wants us to be, to truly love him. And he went on, he says, and not only that, after we love him, what are we to do? The Lord Jesus Christ tell Peter to feed his sheep. So what does it mean to feed his sheep? Of course, we understand, we know, as leaders, as pastors, as servants, we know we are to provide for the physical, spiritual needs. We are to nurture their growth, guiding them,
a call, is a call to action to act as shepherds, standing to the flock with love, compassion, and guidance. All of us know what it means to be a pastor, what it means to be a leader, what it means to someone that is leading a Christian organization. We are supposed to care for our people, to minister to their needs, to ensure that they will excel in terms of us serving the Lord. But this is where the struggle comes. And this is where my struggle comes, because when we say we want to serve the Lord, the first thing our Lord Jesus Christ says, do I love Him? Yes, I love Him. But then the next thing is, what's next? He says, feed my sheep. Okay, I feed your sheep. That's where the struggle comes. You know? So why do I say a pastor regrets? So when I first become a pastor, young pastor, of course, I felt the call of God to serve. But the struggle is that as a young pastor, I have this sense of personal inadequacy. I'm not so good, lah. You know, sometimes you feel not so good. I don't have a doctorate, you know. I do not have ministry experience. But yet at the same time, you are the pastor. You know, you want the glory, yeah? You want people to acknowledge you, pastor, I got this problem. Yes, no problem, I can answer that. Pastor, I got this problem. Yes, no problem, I can answer that. So you have this feeling, although inwardly you know there's struggle, but outwardly you want to manifest, you know, that you're okay person, you're thoroughly equipped person. So there's this there's this statement about personal inadequacy. It says it stems from a deep-seated belief that one is not good enough, leading to self-doubt, fear of failure, and avoidance of behavior. And so this can manifest itself in inferiority complex, where individuals feel inherently less capable than others. So if we are in this kind of situation, it will definitely affect our ministry. It will definitely affect the way we feed our sheep. Why do I say that? Let me share with you this incident. When I first pastored the church, they would tell me, oh, pastor, previously we got this speaker, so-and-so. Very brilliant speaker, wonderful speaker. Can you invite him? Okay, I invited him to come and speak. Wow, after he speak, the whole church, you know, like this audience, wow, so greet him very well, talk to him. Wow, pastor, wow, you really minister to me. I'm so thankful. You know, things like that. I was just standing at the corner. Hey, what am I doing? I'm the pastor. After I speak, you all never come and tell me about this. So the question is, why? Why invite him again next time? He take the shine from you. He take the shine. Well, thankfully, I did not. I keep inviting him because we know. This one I Google one, about sheep, because anybody know about sheep? Some of you may know, but I don't know nothing about sheep. But very surprised, you know, that, you know, it's not just hay, you know, they just don't take hay. You know, they say the sheep consists primarily of high quality forages like grass, hay, or silage, supplemented with minerals when needed, additional energy sources like grains, you know, and so it has all kind of food. It's not just hey, you know. And just like us, you know, we enjoy chicken rice. All of us, most of us enjoy chicken rice. In breakfast, we eat chicken rice. Lunch, chicken rice. Dinner, chicken rice. Supper, chicken rice. Next day, breakfast, chicken rice. Every I think by the third day, you surrender. You smell chicken rice only. You don't want. So in terms of ministry, you know, so this is one thing I realized. I should have arranged the best speakers. I should not fear the brilliant speaker. I should invite speakers that truly are a blessing to the sheep that I care to the Lord Jesus Christ's sheep. Because it is not my sheep. Jesus Christ did not say, take care of your sheep. He said, take care of your sheep. Please take care of my sheep. This church belongs to Him. And we have to do the very best possible to ensure that they are all well fed and cared for. even though we have this sense of inadequacy, pray to the Lord to use us and guide us. And thankfully, I invited a lot of brilliant speakers to come, speakers from the seminary. Yeah? All the lecturers must come. They come and because they are the best in their fields. You know. You talk about New Testament now, you get someone who is teaching New Testament. Wow, the best in the field. Why not? You know, why not? Okay. Second regret. Bias against some of Jesus' sheep. I think this is very common. I don't need to tell you. I think you also know. Some people don't like us. And sometimes we also don't like other people, you know. There was one time I don't like pleasantly plump people. All right, there's one time. I don't want to use the word F-A-T, yeah? But pleasantly plump people. Why? Because when I was young, I was being bullied by someone that is F-A-T. Wow, bully me. Wow. So when I see someone that is, instinctively turn off. There's no reason at all. You know, it's similar thing for all of us. You all have your life experiences. You see someone that looks like someone, somehow there's no connection. And so sometimes in the church setting, you have leaders that make life difficult for you, question you and ask about your sermon, why you preach like that, you know, why you didn't color your hair, you know. Then another leader say, why you color your hair? You want to look young, is it? Another leader say, why you color your hair? You don't color your hair? You want to look old, is it? And also, all these difficulties that you encounter, you know, in a church setting. And the worst thing is that because they are nasty towards you, right? So what do you do? Generally, most people avoid them, right? You avoid them. You know, it's just, I think some of there's so many stories. You know that these two persons are not on good terms. So if this elder is standing at the door, shaking hand at the door. People go out after church, go out, the elders will stand there, shake hand. The guy will go the other direction. He'll go to just door to shake hand. So that's the sad thing about sometimes. So, but then, as pastors, what did Jesus Christ ask us to do? Are they your sheep or not? Are these nasty leaders your sheep or not? Yes. Are these difficult members your sheep or not? Yes. So, sometime in the past, I tried to avoid them, but that's not something that we should do. We should try to care for them as much as we can, and thankfully, we are on good terms, not on the best of terms, but we are on good terms. So this is something that we must always be aware of. Our leaders, our members, they are Jesus' sheep. We are called to feed them. We are not just called to feed certain segment of sheep and then we avoid them, but we are called to minister to everyone. And that is very, very difficult. It's a very humbling experience to invite a leader that hate you and say, hey, Mr. So-and-so, can we go for lunch together? Nope. Next day, hey, Mr. So-and-so, can we go for lunch together? Nope. But thankfully, after a while, okay lah, since pastor, you asked me so many times, I'll go with you. And then you minister, you talk, and then you share about your views. And then you say, pastor, we should go this way, you know. And you tell, oh, yeah. I mean, you can go your way, but I'll go God's way, you know. Okay. You know, we can do all these things. But thankfully, in ministry, yeah, we are called to do that. And start now. Start now. Because as students, we do have our quirks. Sometimes we don't like this student. We don't like that student, eh? Huh? This student irritate us. It can happen. It happened to me, you know, when I was a student. You know, oh, why this student like that? It irritates. It irritates you. But what we're supposed to do? To love them, to care for them. I remember this student come to seminary, you know, walk in the wedding pajamas, no. I was shocked. Wow! Pajamas! How can? But you know why? You know why? I think y'all should know lah. That is his culture. His culture. Some of any Myanmar people here? they wear sarong. You know, they wear sarong, a white shirt, and wear slippers. That is their normal wear. You know. So Singaporean, we cannot understand. I mean, just like sometimes you see Indian holding hand. That is their culture. You say, hey, why do you hold hand? Man, you know. But that is their culture. You know, so sometimes among us students, there'll be people who may irritate us, but ask the Lord to give us the grace to overcome. Yeah, by the way, you know, Myanmar people when they talk, they talk like that. They talk like that, huh? But you know why or not? It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of respect. I don't know whether he will agree with me, because that's what I asked my Myanmar pastor. You know, Myanmar pastor. He said it's a sign of respect when you talk to an older person. Yeah. So that's very surprising. You know, for a Singaporean, hey, why you fold your arms or something wrong, yeah. So, but this is where, as students, you know, as you grow to learn each other. I mean, he's sitting there eating his lunch. Go and join him, lah. Why he eat lunch there? Okay, I go eat lunch here. You know, you don't avoid each other. He go upstairs, I go downstairs. He go library, I go up. So this is where when Jesus Christ say, feed my sheep. Let us try not to be biased towards each other. Of course, lastly, my last request is not seeing the best of each other. Not seeing the best of each other. Because, you know, I have co-workers with me, and they are passionate about certain ministry. So this one of my co-workers is very good with his hands. Very good. Electrical problem, no problem. Computer problem, no problem. He can do all these things. He can repair toilets, he can repair cars, he can repair. Well, he enjoyed doing it. So what happened was that he's been asked to serve in the church. Every once in a while, he will call me, hey, pastor, I will come in late. Why? Happened this so and so to repair the toilet. I was thinking to myself, hey, you're called to serve in this ministry, you're not called to be a plumber, you know. And it happened quite regularly, you know. Once in a while, he will. So I have to sit down with him, talk to him, you know. And, you know, hey, your letter appointment, I very letter of the law. This is what you're supposed to do, you know. Why you're not doing it? Why you're not doing it? Another co-worker, similar situation. She has a passion for youth ministry. She enjoyed youth ministry. But what happens is that in the church, this person was employed to do certain tasks. But sometimes disappeared. I mean, just like in the seminary, you have someone who is in the administration. But once in a while, you come up here and do some teaching. And people ask, hey, where are you? There's no one in the office. Yeah, never mind. It's not important. I like to teach. Will you do that? Of course not. You're seminary, you're teaching. You know, and then you're down there doing admin work. It's like, hey, letter appointment. This is what. But as a church, we should identify the strength of one another. All of us have our own weaknesses. We all have our own weaknesses. And this is where we need others to complement us, where we are weak. So I should have encouraged this co-worker. All right, since you're passionate about this thing, can you rework the letter of appointment? Can you rework something out so that you can excel in what you're doing? So you're happy with the youth ministry, can we do something about it? And push him. Can you go for a study about children ministry so that you'll be accredited, so that we can encourage you towards that direction? I should affirm them rather than criticize them until they're so angry with me. We go to office, everybody angry. I say, Pastor, I take leave and do ministry. And he take leave and do youth ministry, what can I say? But it's something that we need to learn. That's something I regretted a lot. So when we talk about feeding the Lordships, I hope that you will learn from my regrets and will be encouraged in some ways not to repeat what I did, and hopefully, you know, to truly understand the Lord's will and purposes for us. What do you see? All of us will see a black dot. That's very common. We see the bad things about people. We don't see, oh, he's good in this, he's good in this, good. He eat in class. Wow, he can play music, he can do this, We only see the bad about people, but we don't see the strength. And this is where, as leaders, future leaders, let's affirm the strength of people around us. The strength of our members. He criticize, but at least it's coming. He's coming to church faithfully, you know, he criticized me, but he's coming to church faithfully, you know, every Sunday, this person is there. You know, affirm that, wow, thank God you are here. I don't thank God because he criticized me, but I thank God, yeah, I thank God you are here. We affirm. And then hopefully we get to know them and work with them, we understand where they are coming from. And we can love them as much as we can. So in closing, I'm currently ministering in Evangel Christian Church. We have a lot of ministry. I'm thankful for this journey that God has led me through the years to understand. I'm not perfect yet. I'm still growing and learning and things like that. But I'm thankful for co-workers, for leaders, for the understanding that we need to support one another, encourage one another, compliment one another. And thankfully, the Lord uses the church in so many ways to minister in Laos, Myanmar, Mongolia, and we do local outreach and things like that. So my church is a very small church. We only have about 50 people or personally. But yet, as we look at how the Lord leads us, we realize that, yes, we are a small church, but God uses this small church to be a blessing to about over 800 over people in the year 2024. You know, and that's something that we are very, very thankful for, you know, as a church. And because in ministry, in closing, is that in ministry, I hope that we will search our hearts and ask the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when I ask, do you love me? Do you love me? And that's something I hope that our reply will be in the positive. Yes, Lord, I love you. And if you love me, the Lord Jesus Christ say, feed my sheep, serve me. I'm not sure where the Lord will bring you to. Mission countries, teaching in a seminary, helping in the local church. But I hope that when the Lord Jesus Christ asks BTS students, do you love? Our reply will be, yes, I love.
and I'll do my very best to honor your name. And not to make the regrets that Pastor Joshua made. May I not make the same mistake that Pastor Joshua made. I hope when I visit you one of these days, your church member tell me, why you do this? Why you say, hey, you never learn from Pastor Joshua. Come, let us close in prayer together. Father, even as we bow before you, we are grateful, Lord, for your calling. We are grateful for the new life you have given to each one of us. The joy of knowing you, Lord. And Father, even as we bow before you, we do recognize our weaknesses, our difficulties, and even our ministry, the ministry that you have given to us. So, Lord, I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that you will lead us, bless us with your wisdom, bless us with your guidance, that truly, Lord, our love for you will be reflected in all that we do. And we do recognize that all the people that you have placed under our care will flourish and they will grow, Lord. And they will feel blessed because we are there for them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.